And Tyler's fired. And we're live!
Howard Finkel's the best, and you know it, Doc.
That's right. So, hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 64 of Fans of Power. I am Joe Amato, and I am here with my partner in crime, Tyler T-Rex Baker. What's up, T-Rex? How you doing, buddy?
On top of the world. I hope everyone else who's listening, watching, however you decide to view us, it's feeling just as good as we are right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, some cool little interesting topics, some news and stuff, and things coming out, and of course we'll dig into our discussions as well. But first off, I just want to say, if you guys could, you know, whether it's well wishes, prayers, positive vibes, there's a couple people in our community that recently, there's just some health issues. Aaron Johnson, his wife Taylor, they just gave, they just welcomed a little baby boy, Graylin, just a couple days ago into the world, and he's in the hospital. He's still in the hospital. He's having issues, and if you guys could, you know, like I said, say some prayers, send positive vibes his way, you know, I know it's greatly appreciated for him, because, you know, it's a scary thing, and so hopefully, like I said, everything. I'm sure you're gonna be, you know, I'm sure he's gonna be okay. You know, Graylin, he sounds like he's a little fighter in his name. I love his name, Graylin. It sounds like Grayskull, so he sounds like he's made for, you know, to be in a Masters of Community. You
he's
know?
Got the power of hero in him.
That's right, that's right. He's a little hero. So prayers, you know, send it towards him and stuff. And also Jennifer Espinoza, her nephew recently, he had some surgery in the hospital. His name's Joshua Williams, and he's a huge Masters of the Universe and Thundercats fan. So he just got done with surgery, and he's recovering and stuff. But again, another young man that needs some prayers and positive vibes sent his way. So, you know, we're wishing for a speedy recovery for you too, buddy. You know, get yourself well and get back to normal nice and quick.
Yeah, Aaron, Jennifer, I'm already praying for both of you guys. So just hang tight there, and I know everyone else will be sending you thoughts and prayers your way too.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. We'll cover a little question from Joshua as well. He had a question. It'll be later. It'll be a cool little one. So we'll get to that, and we'll do that for you, buddy. And well, besides, you know, those you know, like I said, wishing, you know, the well wishes. I guess we can try to turn into some, you know, recent news. This coming week, Super 7 is going to finally unveil the, I think it's their Classics Collector's Choice figures. I think, I don't know the lineup. I don't even know how many figures they're going to reveal. I mean, did they mention that, Tyler? Did you know if they mentioned anywhere?
No, just said reveals will be, you know, brought out one day this week between, I guess, tomorrow and the 27th, whichever day that falls on. So I guess okay. That's by next Sunday. I don't know. I don't have a count. Well, as a matter of fact, speaking of counters, I got one right here. So I'll just open it up right here live on the air.
Hey!
As to what day of this week this will be. I got the E-Man calendar here.
All right. Did you get on a good clearance deal? Because usually they do that at the end of the year or what?
My Erica picked it up for me while she was out of town.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, you got one at her office too.
All right. So who's January?
The 27th. So we, as of right now, we're looking probably as early as tomorrow or as late as Friday to get reveals.
All right. Okay. Well, cool. Well, speaking of that, real quick, who's the January featured person right there? What's the month?
Well, for the month of January is He-Man.
There you go. All right. Cool. All right.
So he's here to represent our new reveals this month here, people.
All right. If you can pick just one. I know you've said Dial-A-Mug a million times. You're sticking with Dial-A-Mug being a reveal you'd like to see.
Because everyone seems to like to come along and say, well, you know, it's part of the Princess of Power line. It's a completely different line here, guy. You know, and I'm like, still, since Dial-A-Mug was a He-Man concept to begin with, I'm still holding out. But if people want to keep playing that game.
I do. Then, I play that game because, he started off as a He-Man concept, but he was in the cartoon. You're not going to get that Dial-A-Mug until they get the She-Ra property or the license. So,
well, yeah, it's a good thing Joe's wearing a mask, because if I did find out what it looked like, I'd find him right now.
So you got to pick another. So who else you got to pick?
You know what? Since it's spur of the moment here, first guy that comes to mind is KO from New Adventures. He was always my favorite Galactic Guardian, because I want to see more of the Galactic Guardian and more of the New Adventures mutants, you know, expanded. But I could think of a ton off. But the first one that comes to mind is KO. I'd like to see KO finally made.
Okay. All right. He would. I mean, I want to see definitely. I want to see all new adventures. I mean, I'd love to see Sagittar. We know that ain't gonna happen. But boy, if I had a pick, I'd pick him. So, but it's not gonna happen. So I guess that if I had to do a choice, maybe it's one that's probably because it's just so obvious. It seems like it's supposed to have happened. I think Lodar would finally show up. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm sure we probably will get Lodar, and I'll be thrilled to death. And I hope he's, because he's way overdue. So I'd like to think that he, I would almost bank on him being one of the reveals this week. And I'd like to hope too that just one of those other creative characters, the ones that were really, really good, that you know, like Bublar, Rajah, Three Beasts, Major Header, Lady Slither, even though she was a great character, but she was featured, and I know Axel's a big fan of that character. But I'd like to think that one of those kick-ass villains, you know, especially Rajah, I love that character, and Bub Lord. But I would like to think that one of those cool characters that really deserved a figure would get made at some point.
All right, or as you know, everybody's favorite and your Star Child might show up. So I think we're gonna possibly see or see Star Child as from what's popped up there.
I tell you, man, I'm starting to find a good use for this steak already here. You know, I think I'm going to find good use for it later on, but you're already tempting me already.
But I mean, honestly, smaller characters would be cool if they, you know, did her and the
Yeah, but
Twiggets.
smaller characters, we need Trollins, we need Widgets, we need Twiggets, we don't, or Tolemar, the tree for calm. We don't need the Star Child.
You
Ugh,
got
it's like finding the
so much
Star Sisters all over again.
hate in that heart,
Even
I tell you.
Tolemar is pretty hot, though.
Well, she could happen, like I said, especially if you do get smaller figures. All that's a
Well,
possibility.
if Star Child came, she would have to come with a larger figure that I cared about. That way, I could throw Star Child in the back, or put it in a slime pit I got over here, or put her in a somebody's death grip or something like that, or just have her laying in the back with King Grayskull on the floor, and then nobody can see him.
Such anger. Well, all right. So
You
maybe she
started.
won't. Yeah, you're right. I did.
So you do these things just to irritate me and get me going here, and then you act as if like, oh, Tyler, boy, he's got some severe anger issues here.
I'm telling you, I don't know. I'm just trying to
He's
bring up a
constantly
positive.
throwing out the chum and trying to piss off this, angry shark here.
Yeah, we'll begin to say some angry stuff later. Definitely, we know that what that will be.
Yeah,
I'm
we
sure.
might have to save that.
Yeah, that's
Wait
where I'll
till
be
later.
talking with. Yeah, I'm going to be talking by myself for that segment of the show. But until we get to that, I guess two other couple of things of news. There's something really cool. I know you said you're not a super fan of the Dorbs, and I know that some people either love or hate them, but that Funko Shop has an exclusive still available on their website. You get Battle Armor He-Man and a Battle Cat Dorbs. It's a two-pack for $25. That thing looks freaking awesome. Even if you're a hater of the Dorbs, which our buddy Paul Rudman, he hates the Dorbs. I mean, he's a known hater of the Masters Dorbs and all Dorbs, but he seen that, he said, Joe, I had to order that just because Battle Cat looks so cool. Did you see that two pack?
I thought it looked really good. It's not that I don't think they're silly or stupid or pointless. It's just one of those things where I'm like, I can't justify spending money on anything that's if it's not a figure or something vintage I don't have, or a VHS tape I don't have. I'm like, you know what? I'm glad it's out there. I'd like to, if I came across it in a store, like in person, I would probably buy it, but not something I would go out of my way to order. But it did look really good. I like the battle armor on there, so.
It definitely. And I mean, like I said, it is a good price. It's an exclusive. I think they were limited to 5,000 pieces. And I mean, heck, Dorbs in general, if you find them at the store, they're only $7.99. It's super cheap. I mean, so it's a great deal. And one other thing is Walmart is an exclusive carrier, I guess, for some new variant colors and some chase for their loyal subject figures that are being put out. And apparently, see, I didn't know what was going on. My buddy Tom Ace and Andy Wankata, they linked me today an auction for an anti-attorney of He-Man that's for loyal subjects. And I guess it's a chase figure. And the bids were up to $520. And I said, wait, what would make this thing so expensive? I don't understand. Just because it's a chase? And apparently, I think if what I read, what they said was correct, only 28 were made, period. I thought they meant like a 1 in 28 or whatever rarity, but they made it sound like only 28 of these things are made, period. throughout the entire chain of Walmart, because only Walmart gets them. So that's pretty nuts. I mean, that's
this is kind of a Wonka contest. It's only 28 lucky kids. We'll find that anti-attorney He-Man, you know, and they'll all be taken to the Mattel factory and, you know, and then, you know, see which one of these kids spoils secrets, you know, out to Hasbro or Jax or any other toy company. And then, little Joe Amato will be the one that who did spill the beans, you know, to Slugworth.
I'm glad you said that about Slugworth, because they do have their version, if you want to say like a golden ticket, they have one golden colored He-Man, and that's the other chase for disloyal subjects at Walmart.
You looked over like you were gonna be like, they have this one variant, you know, there's only one out there. You're like, hey, no, I got it.
Could you imagine? What if I did reach like, here it is, but no, one gold.
I customize it and puts it out on eBay for some poor schmuck to like, oh man, there it is. It's in Ohio, guy. I got a badge.
You know what's bad for me is because, you know, known for doing and selling customs, let's say I found, you know, the gold, which I'd keep either way, but let's say I found an anti-attorney, a He-Man, and I tried to put it on eBay. Everybody would probably think it was a custom anyways. It'd be original, but they'd think it was a custom, so I wouldn't get any bid. So if I find them, I guess I'll just have to keep them.
Or some guy who's just like, hey, well, you know what? Joe decided to customize his own. Why save me all the trouble of going through and buying through a bunch of blind buys and not know what I'm getting? And right. I come to find out, it's just like you decided to get some lucky guy who was willing to take your offer, you know?
Exactly.
Like a bite now for like $24.99 or something like that. And you're like, man, that's pretty cheap for a Joe custom there. And he's like, no, that's the real thing, dude.
Wouldn't it be? Yeah,
that would be like a Secret Santa thing that you could do, you know? Well, not a direct. I don't know, I've never done the whole Secret Santa thing, so
yeah, nothing.
It's a act of goodwill and charity to the fans out there.
That's right. So
this is a stupid fan I'm on right now.
There you go. Well, that's all right. Well, that's all the kind of, you know, I guess recent news and stuff. Now, a question we'll do is from, you know, like I said, our listener Joshua Williams. And it's going to lead into our other topic and discussion. But he had a cool little question. I kind of enjoyed it. And it'll be fun, and I'll let you run with it first. He, like I said, he loves Thundercats. He loves Masters of the Universe. And he really likes Hordak, and he likes Mumra. So his question was, if they'd fight, who would win between Mumra and Hordak? So I guess I'll let you go first, Tyler. What do you think about that? Because, you know, we got a couple different versions of Hordak, so there's different theories. What do you say?
Well, I don't go with the DC version of Hordak, so that one gets tossed over the top rope immediately.
Oh, you turn it into a battle royal or a...
Oh, I'm just saying that's a Hordak I'm not going to acknowledge, you know, with all the Matrix wires and gears tied up to and all that crap. Yeah, it's like either way, there's going to be people pissed off on either side.
Well, this is fun. Like I said, it's as fun.
I think if we're going with like the vintage Hordak / MYP, that's more about, you know, sorcery and a leader of warfare and stuff like that. Well, I mean, he's a leader of warfare information too, but there's a lot of technology use.
Wait, you had a good question. It's got you thinking. That's a good question.
Man, this. I'm going to lose sleep over this one. Dude, the minute I say Hordak, I'm going to say, no, wait a second here. The minute I say Mumra, I'm like, well, I could almost see this coming to a stalemate. But then again, too, since Mumra's power can only last so long, so to speak.
Okay.
You know, he doesn't stay ever living forever, whereas Hordak is pretty consistent in his current state. So based on that, just on that, not due to, you know, if we're looking at a trading card stats with like endurance, strength, you know, like the classic Marvel Universe trading card.
I like it.
Hordak the Egg, simply because he does not, you know, it's not like he, you know, has to go back to the Fright Zone and be re-energized, you know, or powered up, so to speak, whereas Mumra does, even though Mumra's extremely cunning.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I felt like he could probably have Hordak on the ropes, but I think, yeah, I'll give it to Hordak. And I hate picking one of these classic villains over the other, because it's like picking children? And I'm like, I hate. It's a great question. It's a great. It's a great discussion question.
It is.
But I'll give Hordak the edge on that.
All right. Okay. All right, Joshua. This is. I guess this is my kind of thoughts about it. I wear Bajalak, so you figure I have to, you know, obey my master or work for Hordak.
Was a former evil warrior, so it doesn't necessarily mean that.
No, it's true. I mean, but currently I'm with Hordak. But here's the thing. All right, we could do a couple different theories. Let's say if you wanted to play for fun, let's talk about the 80s cartoons. And let's say, you know, it's Mumra. And it's season one, early Mumra. And so he's ready to fight Hordak, and Hordak just turns into any one of his multiple vehicles that has a reflection, and Mumra sees it. It's the end of the fight, so...
I don't like using that. That is just...
Hey,
like
it, hey!
I like the whole reflection
you
thing.
Let me finish!
By that.
I'm not finished, as you'd say. So this is if this was still season one early Mumra. So that's my quick little cop-out of having, obviously, Filmation Hordak win. But... if we got MYP Hordak in a battle with Mumra. Now, this could be fun because, like I said, the MYP Hordak, we never obviously got, like I said, to see barely anything, but the potential and what we've seen of what he could have been, how powerful and intense he was. That's the.
Was overshadowed, idiotic, apocalyptic abomination, King Grayskull.
You really hate King Grayskull. So, like I said, he seems really powerful, but then you'd have. Two, you know, magic users going at it because, you know, I look at, you know, Filmation Hordak is not really the magic user, just more of, you know, into the tech and transformations and stuff. So I've never seen him much as a wizard or.
Yeah, Filmation Hordak being defeated by Mumra, though.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, we could see. But as for, yeah, the MYP one, and then, like I said, and then Mumra fighting, at least going magic against magic. I would like to say that I think Mumra could win that one. Now, here's the thing. Like you said, Mumra, I mean, obviously, you know, like I said, he needs to recharge and stuff. And, you know, he's always going to just keep coming back. I mean, he never really dies. He just keeps coming back. So you could still have battles and lose. And even if he would have lost, he could go back and, you know, like you said, re-energize. But I still want to think that Mumra could maybe best Hordak. Just the possibility of, like I said, if they could go magic.
Mumra's patient, too. Mumra's not... He's smart. He thinks. He's going to weigh all his options and all the possibilities before he acts. Whereas, you know, I could see Hordak losing his temper, and acting, you know, like quickly, like no, send an armada, you know, blast the pyramid or something like that, do something foolish and or whatever. So yeah. It's hard to pick a winner here because. You know, Mumra was done so, you know, consistently smart. You know, there's never hardly a time you felt like this guy's written as like the, you know, a season two villain on He-Man, you know, kind of bumbling and.
No, true, know. True. I mean, he was written quite different. I mean, the cartoon was, but I mean, Mumra, I never felt any like joking or bumbling from him. It just, he always felt very serious. But I mean, I guess that was my. Fun way of addressing Joshua's question with like a winner on both sides, if you will, you know, quickly dismiss the, you know, Mumra from against Filmation Hordak just from a reflection, but in a fight with, you know, two magic users, then Mumra could come out on top. So, I mean, I love the question. Like you said, I mean, that it's, hey, maybe that could be a potential thing in the future. Maybe we could, if, you know, depending on how the comic sales keep going, maybe eventually.
In that direction, too.
Don't roll your eyes. But, you know, you never know. Maybe there's a possibility eventually we could see a Hordak come and pop up and then see what could happen. But, you know, like I said, it's all fun.
And it's got to be out of the current writers. It's got to, well, DC ain't going to, well, it's not like they care anyway. Man, we're just doomed when it comes to these new comic books.
You're dreading the last part.
You know, that's why it's funny. In an earlier conversation, Joe referenced the old hag lady from Princess Bride. You know, that's what we need her outside the offices. You know, you know, boo. You know, it's like you had this wonderful property in your hands and you gave it up. You know, and just you know the. Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank here, but that's what we need outside the offices of DC. You know, when they come outside and this old hag is. Yelling boo at these people. It's like, why do you do this? Because you had this wonderful property in your hands and you gave it up to some loony hack who doesn't know anything about either one of these properties.
I think everybody, you could tell, I mean, when we're leaving.
They don't wake up this nightmare. This old hag is still there. There is no nightmare here. There's no Princess Buttercup waking up from this. Oh, no, 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 no. This is real.
Well, you can see, I mean, it'll be coming eventually, fans. I think you already know what Tyler's, why he's so angry. It's going to be coming eventually, but still not yet of that part of the show.
I'm not trying to get there yet. I'm just saying in general. It's a general statement here. This is my State of the Union address here, is what I'm trying to say.
I can tell. Well, we're, like I said, so that's that discussion. So we again appreciated Joshua for that question. And buddy, get yourself well. So now, speaking of magic users, because it's great that he asked that question anyways, because it was leading into one of the topics of the show today. Whether it's some of the most powerful, well-known, favorites, again, in general, magic users and Masters of the Universe, Princess of Power, New Adventures. What are some of your tops? What are your, some of your more, I guess, the ones that you know the most, Tyler, I guess, to where they pop into your head and you always liked them, or even if they weren't some of your favorites, just some of the most known magic users.
Gosh, there's tons. I mean, you want to start with heroes or villains?
Heck, start with the heroes. Villains always seem like they're usually the coolest in most people's eyes, so let's get some heroes out there, because at least for Master's side, I feel like there was never a lot of, you know, heroic magic users, and you'll see what I mean when I start talking about it, but go ahead.
Well, Granomir.
Okay.
And, Montork. Pretty much any of the Trollins, for that matter.
Yeah, the Trollins is like, that's a no-brainer. It's because they're... Well,
yeah, just Trollins. Just say in Trollins. Trollins. You know what we're talking about. Casta Spella, because she was hot.
She was hot.
Pretty much She-Ra's buddies, you know. Yeah, Glimmer and Queen Angela and Frosta with her, you know, ice effects and stuff like that. So it's mm-hmm. it's not your traditional sorcery, but it's still magic nonetheless. Malik, Wizard of Stone Mountain, because it's a fantastic episode.
Mm-hmm.
Sorceress, of course, you know. Gosh, I mean, I always tend to lean more towards villains as being, you know, masters of sorcery and stuff like that.
Yeah, because
I don't know if Zagraz
the one who controlled the comets or something, or
yes, Zagraz Mountain. Excuse me. Yeah, okay. Zagraz the Comet Keeper. You know, I mean, someone who can control comets. I don't know. I guess you couldn't really link him as like what you probably typically have someone that comes to mind as a sorcerer or a magician of some kind, in Eternia. But I don't know. Those are the ones that come to mind when I think of heroes.
Yeah, because you know what's weird about that? It's sad that we have to reach to, if you will, like always the episodes of the cartoons or something, meaning, I mean, like you said, I mean, there's Granomir, then you were mentioning all the other characters, one-off characters from certain episodes. But when you think about the Masters of the Universe in general, you know, all the figures you had and the ones you played with and connect the main masters, you got Orko, who really is, even though, you know, obviously on Eternia, his magic is screwed up. But remember, he's supposed to be the most powerful magician on Tralla. I think that's how he's labeled. He's one of their most powerful magicians. So you have Orko for the Masters. Then you got the Sorceress, who is stuck in Castle Grayskull, but she uses magic. But besides that, who do we have? You know, the main Masters, who's doing magic a lot? You know, unlike, like you said, when you think about the Evil Warriors, I mean, like you said, you got Skeletor, you got Evil Lyn. It seems like somebody's always using some staff or some other thing to use some kind of magic. But it seems like, I don't know, the evil ones were maybe a little more known for magic because obviously that's what makes them more frightening, more known. I don't know. Doesn't it seem like the...
Most heroes were more about it. They were given a special power of some kind, like Fisto and the Big Fist, Cyclone and his tornado abilities. Roboto and Manny Faces and Moss Men. I'm looking at the roster over here. You know, the Rock Warriors. Sorcerers tended to be given to you had a couple of, you know, minor heroic, you know, magicians or like
Because I'm not saying like the evil warriors.
Randall from Return to Granomir or something like that. But yeah, for the most part, when you're dealing with magic, you know, Orca was there to be the comic relief with magic.
Yeah.
But if we're outside of Filmation, like, even though he's not really given a whole lot, but you kind of led to believe he's some sort of sorcerer, is the Faceless One.
Sure. See, I guess, See, it's the thing. I mean, not saying that the evil warriors, you know, even from our figures, completely outnumbered the heroic warriors when it came to magic users, but I guess that's the thing that's always in my head is, you know, you have the main two of Skeletor and Evil-Lyn, who are, it's all about magic. But then for the heroic side, it's usually just Sorceress and Orko, but the Sorceress is stuck in Grayskull, so she's never out doing anything. So you're left with Orko, but then Orko is always doing the bumbling screwing up magic. I mean, not really bump, you know what I mean? They just never let it work right. So.
It works convenient for the story. You know, he's been successful enough, you know, to where, you know, like, you know, one of your favorites to save Skeletor, he can successfully, you know, conjure up something. Evil Seeds, another prime example. It works, but he's typically labeled as like his magic is pointless on Eternia. So I'd say if, you know, looking at probably the only source of consistent good magic would probably be Granomir,
So that's
because he's not limited to anything. He's not limited to the walls of Grayskull, and his magic's not limited to the atmosphere of Eternia.
and so you would that's what I mean. I guess that's why I wish there was always a consistent hero that could have
Joe's
been
reading Witch Project right now.
yeah, sorry about that. Just doing a little
Find a
side
witch.
thing.
Joe's gonna be sitting in the corner. Witch is going to knock him out back, and I'll be sitting here talking to myself.
No,
What
I'm still
the
with
fuck is this?
No, I just, like I said, I wish that there was always a consistent hero that could have been out doing magic, you know, and.
Well, funny you say, hero.
Well, yeah, I guess there you go, hero. So, I mean, but look at that then, too, what we were talking about. Hero, we got him in the Vintage mini comic where he showed how powerful he was by basically just sending everybody back to where they came from. But then when it came to, you know, the new and storylines, unfortunately, we never got to see him do anything. And that's what's sad is you would expect to see a lot out of Hero. So it seems like you did then end up seeing basically it's always the villains. And then, of course, when it came to the cartoon, sure, there seemed like there was more memorable even villains when we always would say Shigora, Shakoti, Mulcrum. I mean, there's probably like.
Azrog and Spydra, Toron the Magician,
I always
you know.
forget about Azrog and Spydra, but you always
Well, of
make sure
course,
to bring them.
everybody does. That's why I'm here still carrying a flag for them all these years later.
Yep, I always like when you bring them back because, like I said, they would all make obviously awesome figures. But no, it seems like the villains are the most known. And then when you came to Princess of Power, that's what's cool is like they were almost all known for, like you said, one way or another. Their whole, Jesus, the whole show was magic. That's what was cool about She-Ra is, like you said, I mean, all the females, when you think about it, the vast majority of them had some kind of magic abilities. And like you said, you
Yeah,
got
Matt, right?
Madame Raz. Yeah, and Madame Raz and all of them, and Glimmer, Queen Angela. And then, of course, for the evil side, you got Shadow Weaver. But then that was the cool thing. I like that all of the evil females didn't really revolve around magic. Like, you know, Scorpia wasn't really around about magic. Oh my God, I almost said Octavia. Is it Oct Oh my God, Octavia? Did I say her name right? Or am I wrong? What the
You
hell?
talked about, you said her name, right?
What's that? I had like a brain freeze. I was like, I felt like I said her name wrong. But now Catra, even though she has an enchanted mask, and you could say that's considered kind of magic, you know, she just turns into the
Yeah,
panther that does.
she's not using, you know, projectiles and force fields and anything else. She's using magic to transform, but yeah, you can't count her as well. It's like calling Trapjaw Wizard of Weapons. He's you know, there's no magic there. He's just a blacksmith and you know, kind of a technical weapons manufacturer for Skeletor. So it's
So it definitely felt like you said, at least in the realm of Princess of Power, the good or the heroic people, however you want to label them, they seemed like they outweighed the villains when it came to having magic users. At least it seemed like that. I mean, I could be
I
wrong.
mean, you know, Horak, and I'd like to think that Hor Prime probably had some sort of, you know, but you would never know because he was pretty, you know, it's just if that guy taught Hordak, then it's kind of safe to say that,
Question
you know.
though. This is what I always thought about Hordak, you know, and I guess like it's like how we were talking about earlier when I was just joking about.
But this is also if you're playing along with the idea that you accept Hor Prime, which I've always been more partial to Hordak being the top dog and just taught Skeletor and that's it. That Hordak has no superiors. As a kid, I thought it was fine, but as I got on, I like the idea of Hordak having no superior, that he is the master of black magic and evil and dark sorcery, you know,
But do you see
and
him as a, that's what I mean. Do you see him as a sorcerer or somebody that's really about magic then? Because I know starting off, you know, he, like you said, he taught Skeletor, but it's like, didn't it seem like he moved on and it was more about technology and the transforming stuff? And you could say, I guess magic makes him do that. I don't know, but I've never really considered him a magic user or sorcerer in Filmation. I just felt like he was just some cool transforming weird being. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't know. I never thought of him as like a sorcerer.
I guess, you know, the overall picture. I mean, as a kid, I don't picture him as a sorcerer, you know, other than just someone who just transformed. But when you get older and kind of learn what kind of direction they were going to go in with the character, and he doesn't do a whole lot of, you know, crazy, you know, sorcery stuff in the mini comics and things like that. You know, he's pretty much just kind of a, you know, he's a bad guy and, but you know, you look at the MYP version where he's clearly an evil sorcerer, and but it's always been like, you know, it's there, you know, like when he's saying this is the guy that taught Skeletor everything, and it's what, then you know that he is, you know, an evil sorcerer. So it's like it may not have been played out with, but it's like the elephant in the room you didn't know was that, you know, this guy is a sorcerer and he's the guy that taught Skeletor, so he's a badass, so you know that he's more inclined to technology because of what it can do.
Yeah, because
But
I think that's what I was liking about MYP of what they could have had going, you know, is if it would have continued, is there's no way we would have got the Filmation Hordak with any of the transformations. I believe they would have stuck to straight sorcery.
I'd like to think that that's the version we saw of Hordak before he becomes infatuated with technology.
Would you have wanted him to become
That
a
if it,
transforming guy in MYP? Would you have wanted?
it wouldn't have bothered me if they went that route, because it just would have been a nod to the Filmation cartoon in the end. But I don't think they would have went as far with it as Filmation did, where every episode it turns into a small little tank, or it turns into a rocket, or he. His hand turns into a, you know, a Civil War cannon, you know, on his right arm or something
Right.
like that. But I think they would have maybe a couple of nods to it, like in season three when we meet the current version of Hordak. Maybe briefly he has that claw hand that he has in Secret of the Sword temporarily or something to that extent. You know, maybe an accident with technology or source. I don't know, but I think it would be like a couple of nods, but I think we would still get the black magic Hordak
That's yeah.
with the whole, with the Horde wraiths and all that
Yeah,
stuff.
because I mean that's what I'd prefer. I wouldn't want any of the technology stuff. I would never have wanted him to turn into that rocket tank, nothing in MYP. Like you said, if there was one slight little nod, they said maybe you have to do the arm cannon. I guess maybe the arm cannon, but maybe it look a little more mystical and crazy magic beams or some other stuff instead of like, I don't know, a beam or a flamethrower, just magic effects. I don't know, but otherwise, I think I'd almost want him to just stick straight sorcerer because I mean, he felt so evil, like that minimal time he was in the cartoon. I was like, God, this guy is frightening. And we got no
Well,
more.
if we, you know, so this is just one of the small details about Hordak's, you know, legion of villains, where, you know, he references, you know, and he could probably get away with, you know, like the first batch, you know, like Leech, Rizlor, and Mantana, but like, you know, when, you know, Hordak references like that Horde science turned his group into the greatest, you know, warriors the world has ever known. Which means, like, at some point, he would understand that, you know, science can give him stronger, you know, different Horde troopers, different, you know, vehicles, and, you know, not everything. Because I it almost kind of comes off as like this unwritten rule that with magic that it weakens people after a while, that it can only do so much. You shooting projectiles and using all of their physical strength and mental strength to, you know, hold back, you know, blasts and stuff like that. Whereas the technology just, you know, send the guys inside. I'm having a Frank Drebin moment here. I just lost my thought. Like, where the hell am I going with this right here? So I'm
So you wouldn't mind a little technology, maybe?
just a little. I like, you know, the vintage Hordak where there's not really technologies used except for creating Horde troopers and create. Oh, I know what it was. Well, it's like in the mini comics when he's creating, you know, Dragstor, and you know, and responsible for creating Extendar, and I think one of the UK books, Snoutspout, I believe.
Yes, he did.
Correct.
Yes, he did. He did. He made Snoutspout. Okay.
Yeah. So it just kind of, if you're going to follow along with, you know, how some of these, you know, other characters come about, you know, especially with Modulok being a scientist too, or being into science, that, you know, at some point Hordak's going to embrace technology to a certain degree. And that's where I feel like if he's going to create some new beings like Dragstor and work with Modulok on creating Multibot. I'm just kind of looking at the lineup over here. But I'm fine with it a little bit, but I feel like I'm going back and forth in circles here, not getting to a damn point.
It's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
To make a long story short, yes, I want a black sorcery Hordak, but if they throw in, you know, some technology, I'm fine with that too.
All right. For me, I just want the black sorcery. I want the evil. I want the wickedness. And if there's anything super minimal, maybe one time, maybe twice, an arm cannon thing, but that's it. Nothing more. So that's what I guess I would want to see. But yeah, so like I said, I guess there's a lot of different sorcerers, magic users. So it was a fun little discussion of tossing around from the good to the bad. And now, speaking of good to bad and whatever opinion, however you want to take it, Tyler, it's time to talk about issue number 4 of the He-Man Thundercats crossover comic. What you doing out there, Al Bundy?
I'm fashioning myself a crude noose.
This is going to be good. Come on, now hold on a second. It's not as bad as you think. Are you ready? He's like, Joe, take it away. He's like, you're done.
I got to plug it into an electrical socket here and hang myself and shot myself for a quicker death.
A double dose, huh? Well, all right. So as you know, how it left off in issue 3, the ancient...
Or if you're lucky, most of us have forgotten what the hell happened in the last issue.
Oh, I mean, it had its moments and some of the confusion and stuff, but it ends, like I said, it ended where...
You defend this. It's not like you know the guy who wrote it or the two guys that are pretending to write.
Okay, well hold on. So, at the end of issue 3, the ancient spirits of evil have now been freed from the Black Pyramid, and they're under the control of Mumra and Skeletor, and it's apparently through the Golden Discs of Knowledge. So, it starts off with them obviously attacking, you know, the palace and everything, and Skeletor and Mumra are just elated that, you know, this is all working together, while, just to let you know, the narration is being done by He-Man this time. So, they're wanting to, like, you know, obviously they got to fight, they got to deploy Wind Raiders, they're, you know, trying to battle off these four giant son of a guns. And Man-at-Arms at one time is showing Panthro and Tigra, like one of his weapons. Like, have you guys ever handled something like this? And there's a way that Panthro and Tigra dismiss Man-at-Arms, like, I don't know, like his technology is primitive and almost disrespectful, which I don't know if I've ever really got that from Panthro and Tigra talking to people like that. There was something kind of, I don't know, annoying, but I guess, you know, what are you going to do? They have their ways. They're always writing something. But do you recall Panthro and Tigra being like kind of disrespectful or like dismissing somebody like they have no common sense or they're petty?
Hell no. No, if anything, Tigra and Panthro would be all about seeing new technology. What is this technology we could take back to Third Earth and enhance our defense systems and, you know, in the Cat's Lair? Is it something we can use besides Thundrillium? You know, I mean, it's just like the guy's just trying to write, you know, some sort of, you know, disagreement scenario here or some sort of personality differences here. It's just like he's just making the stuff up. You know, he's just, you know, loading up with some bean burritos with extra guacamole sauce and just shooting out, you know, the fastest and biggest stream of chunks he can in the toilet. And then just kind of like consulting with the bones. And just like, ooh, I see this. Oh, and maybe if I do this to that character, oh boy, look at this big peanutty chunk here. I'm gonna kill He-Man, and people will believe it.
You have an interesting way of looking at writing. I've never seen that, but okay, well, all right. I can tell.
Well, it's so unnecessary to write these characters like, well, we have nothing going here, so let's have Tigra and Panthro dismiss and belittle, you know, Man at Arms. Just like, no, if anything, these three guys would be sitting down and sharing all kinds of cool secrets with each other about how they could help Man at Arms.
That's what I would like to see. Yeah, no, it's what you said there. That's what I would have rather preferred, is them, like, working.
It serves no purpose.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're right, there's no sense to really just kind of, like, talk down to him. Your stuff's primitive, it's sarcastic. Yeah, you're right, for them to work together and put their brains together to create cool stuff, that would have been fun. So we didn't get that, unfortunately. But then what we get next is Lionel has an idea, almost like, I don't know, Chris Farley when he's like, I think I have a plan, or whatever he said. So it's, Lionel's got an idea. He's going to go to Third Earth. He's taking Prince Adam and the casket with him. And Cringer has not left Adam's side since the death. So he's going to the Black Pyramid because he has an idea that, you know what, he's seen a lot of oh, just to let you know, when they do show up at the Black Pyramid, in front of the Black Pyramid is a Plundarian fighter. So they figure, okay, obviously somebody's in the Black Pyramid. Well, they go in there and he sees, obviously, the sarcophagus, and he knows this thing has restored Mumra so many times. So maybe it would bring Prince Adam, He-Man, back to life. So they shove him in there. My question is, now again, if there's Thundercat fans out there who can correct me, if maybe they know something I don't know, I do have one question. I assumed that the ancient spirits of evil, it's their power which charges the entire Black Pyramid. I thought, or at least adds to it, and I figured that that sarcophagus works with them being there. But I don't know, maybe there's something different, because I figured, well, since they're gone from the Black Pyramid now, how is it being charged? How is it being powered? How can that sarcophagus work when the ancient spirits of evil are not even there? They're gone. There is no power in that pyramid. So, I mean, I might be wrong. Maybe the sarcophagus is separate and it still works.
You're not wrong.
Okay. Well, there you go. So they shove them in.
Gosh, how do you explain this to me, man? It's just,
That's what I mean, because I always want to just know what's going on. So they stick them in there. They stick Adam in the sarcophagus. And you see, like, lights kind of, like, lighten up and then going around it and everything. But then they realize somebody else is there. So Lionel says to Cringer, basically, Cringer, you go see what's going on. I'm going to stay here with Adam. But Cringer's basically like, what do you mean? What am I going to do? So,
does it bother anybody that there is no connection at all between He-Man and Lionel, and no real established reason? Why the hell does this man from Third Earth, leader of the Thundercats, is going to help this dead man we don't know any, he doesn't know anything about, and I'm not buying the idea here, because you will say this. Well, Jaga told him. Where the hell does Jaga take the time in this fantastic story? Sit down, young Lionel. Not only am I going to tell you about the planet Eternium, I'm going to give you the history of Eternium, but the conflicting stories of Grayskull and Hero, along with the dinosaurs that died due to a technovirus written by a bad story writer, all the way up to current day, where, you know, well, the mantle of He-Man was passed on from various people. Oh, wait, scrap that. We're reading the bios here. We don't have time for that. It's just...
Well, here, you take a breath. Take a breath.
It's doing everything not to flip this table over and risk knocking something over. And
take trying a
to
breath. Explain,
but this is what pisses me off. And it's just like, why aren't people with torches and pitchforks showing up to these guys' doors here of continuing the story here when there is no motivation for Lion to be helping this dead man?
Oh, hold on. Catch your breath. Now, you go ahead. You take a breather. Because now this is what happens. Lionel figures, well, you know what? You are a feline, you know, and I want to see if the Eye of Thundera could do something, because there's a hero in you. He's basically saying there's some kind of hero within you. So Lionel takes the sword. And he says, thunder, thunder, Thundercats ho, and shoots it at Cringer. Then you don't see nothing happen there. What you see next is the mutants, some of the mutants, and some of the evil warriors are looting all the gold inside of Mumra's pyramid. They're freaking excited. Look at all the stuff we're getting. Look at what's happening. And they're laughing and celebrating. And suddenly they all look up like, what? 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 And what you might not like, I actually thought was one of the coolest looking things. Suddenly in front of them is Cringer transformed into like basically a battle cat man. It really looks cool. I know that you're not so much into it, but he does look cool. And he's humanoid like. And on his chest, he's got, the Thundercat symbol. He's got, the mask that's part on his face, and he's just ripping into and tearing into all the mutants in Evil Wars. It is cool. I do like that part, even though I'm wondering, I thought that, Cringer's special transformation, that's something between, the power of Grayskull and the magic. That's something. So can Lino then just aim his sword at anybody now and just transform him? That's why I thought, I love it. It's cool, but I was like, could it happen? No, but hey, still something interesting. And I know Tyler's not a super fan of what happened, but
You're really just too nice, Joe.
well, I did like it. It was cool. Hold on one second. Hold on, I
Not
apologize. Yeah,
Coffee's not happy.
she just had a little water in his coffin. I'm sorry. I'm gonna get her some water. She's good. Well, yeah, so they go in, like I say, he transforms into Battle Cat Man, takes them all out. Then the next scene is suddenly Lion-O is around the casket, and the casket starts glowing. And I think that's when finally He-Man comes out. Very like quietly, you hear, like by the power of Grayskull. It's like he says, by the power of Grayskull. And then I have the power. The thing cracks open, and He-Man looks like, I don't know, he's a mutant or something. Not a mutant, but I mean, he's got these veins in his neck. He's looking all incredible Hulk-like. His eyes are glowing. He's got the power sword. And it's like, here we go. Here comes the fight. He comes right after Lion-O. And Lion-O's trying to stop him, saying, like, I'm not your enemy. But He-Man just keeps on coming. And they're doing their sword fighting back and forth, back and forth. And Lion-O sees he's good with the sword, obviously, so he figures he'll try to disarm him. He like takes away to where he uses the hilt on the sword, his Sword of Omens, and disarms He-Man. And after he disarms him, he's thinking, "Hey, this is cool. I got you now." But then, bam! He forgets He-Man's super powerful. He-Man's, knocking him across the entire place like he's nothing. Could you hold on one second? Or, I'm sorry. I got you.
Anything to like this.
Okay, yeah, I don't. All right, well, yeah, so he's knocking them all around. Now, this is what's going to lead to another kind of questionable part, is Lionel realizes he can't best He-Man, that He-Man is too strong. So Lionel does something different. He calls upon with his sword. He says, "Sword of Omens, give me power beyond power." And now suddenly, Lion-O has the same basic power as He-Man. It's like he even says something like, "The playing field has been leveled." I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but basically now they're of equal strength. I won't even see if like what he said, because I want to make sure I'm quoting that right. He says, "Yeah, the power playing field has been leveled, my friend." And now He-Man's picking up like statues. Lionel's picking up statues. He-Man's trying to crash one onto Lionel, but Lionel actually jumps over the one with He-Man with his statue and slams it into He-Man's face. So, what you just created there is you created a moment that now, because of you wanting to be clever, you know how people used to debate who could win, He-Man or Lion-O? And obviously, everybody always said, obviously, He-Man, I mean, Lion-O, he's not as powerful as He-Man. He couldn't win. Well, now you just created history. So everybody that was saying this is great, quit complaining and enjoy this comic. I have seen so many He-Man fans super upset now because they said, "Oh man, Lion-O shouldn't be able to do that." Well, you know what? You guys were loving it. Look what just happened. They just made Lion-O as powerful as He-Man. So now any future debates that are going to go on, what are people going to do? They love quoting comics. They love citations, as our buddy Thomas would say. They're going to cite to this issue and say, look what happened. If Lionel ever says, give me power beyond power, he's just as powerful as He-Man. So that has never happened in the history of Thundercats. He's never been able to give himself that kind of power. He's used that phrase before, and I think it was to do something where it destroyed some kind of vehicle of Slythe. I think that's what Thomas said. He's the Thundercats expert, because I asked him about that. I said, has this ever happened? He's like, no, that's never happened. But it's happened now. So now he's on equal strength terms as He-Man. It's now part of history, so there you go. So he then gets He-Man in, because he can't stop him. I know, I'm going to do a couple more, then you can rant. He gets He-Man, like, in a chokehold. And then he says, Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. And he shoves that freaking thing in front of He-Man's face. And then suddenly, He-Man is seeing visions. He's seeing visions of the future, of what's happening now, of Skeletor ruling, all the masters of the universe, you know, hanging and, you know, like, are dead. You're seeing the Thundercats are dead, and Mumra's ruling with them, too. You see Mechaneck, of course, hanging by his neck, and I was like, well, of course, he couldn't hang by his neck.
Well, of course, we have to get in the traditional joke. Let's not Mechaneck joke, because I'm down, I'm hit. Watched 2000X.
And as funny as that was, I was like, but that's a mechanical neck. You're not going to be able to choke him. Yeah, it's like, I could see they're trying to do the humor of the extending neck hanging, but he doesn't have a throat there, so it wouldn't work, but whatever.
Trying to do anything right
now. Exactly. It's like, yeah, you're not going to choke him by that metal, but so they see visions of the future, and and then you're seeing some of the Thundercats now being enslaved. Chitara, the Thunder Kittens, Moss Man, I think even Clamp Champ, you're seeing some of them being enslaved. Yeah, they're well, that's the future, the visions. A lot of them are dead, but ones that are, like, all chained together are Chitara, the Thunder Kittens, Moss Man, Clamp Champ. Those are some of the ones chained up and being enslaved now. So after this all happens, this vision, He-Man kind of, like, throws Lionel off to the side. Lionel figures, okay, Jesus, you know, I can't make you stop this madness. You won't break through it. So he's like, well, I'm going to have to cut you down. So he jumps, leaps up, and right before he cuts He-Man's head off, suddenly it stops. And it's because He-Man broke out of the madness. And remember, the Sword of Omens won't let him strike down. You know, I mean, the Sword of Omens won't strike down anybody good. So he's changed at the last second. And then you see he explains who he is. Here's your sword, blah, blah, blah. You know, He-Man doesn't know who he is. He explains he's Lion-O, he's a friend. He-Man says he had saw Skeletor and another ruling in the future, and that's when Lionel said something like, well, usually the sight beyond sight doesn't usually show visions of the future, and it's not usually, it never does, it doesn't show visions of the future, but that was kind of quickly explained, saying, hey, it's never been combined with the power of Grayskull, so I guess that's how it was able to show a future vision. That was their way of writing that. So he doesn't remember, that's what's weird. Now He-Man remembered issue one. Remember, he was fighting Mumra. Mumra even addressed him as Mumra. But he apparently maybe has a little, like, forgetfulness or amnesia, because he's like, I've seen Skeletor and another. It's like, why did you say another? You already know who Mumra is, but whatever. So that could have been a writing error, or they're going to say since he just came out of his madness, maybe he's got a little amnesia. Who knows? They didn't say that, just assuming it. So they figure now they got to go back to Eternia and stop things before it gets bad, because the last panel is the ancient spirits of evil are standing in front of Grayskull. Another quick little thing was that Plundarian ship that was in front of the Black Pyramid, it's not there when they come out. Here's the thing, though. I mean, it was the one that brought the mutants and evil warriors, and when Cringer's then laying in that treasure pile around the mutants that he, you know, beat the crap out of, they're all still there. And he's licking his, like, you know, chops. But I was like, so they didn't take the vehicle. So was that a mistake and they just forgot to draw it or what? So that's it. One other question I want to say before you do your quick little rambling is, it's the whole thing about He-Man transforming. Now, as you know, remember, Skeletor somehow, I don't know, had to get worthy from something from by getting Mumra, and then he was able, since he's ever living. So I think they were going by that whole thing, trying to make it seem like now maybe He-Man being ever living through that sarcophagus was able to hold the sword, because otherwise he's, you know, evil can't hold that sword, but maybe because he's ever living through that could. I don't know. It hurt my head, but it had some cool moments, but it had some headache moments. So out of all the stuff I just rambled,
what would you kind of say are some of your thoughts of things I just said and some points?
I don't know until I get me some ibuprofen in my system right now, which I haven't felt a headache like this since I saw the Ghostbusters reboot trailer for the first time.
Did you see the movie though?
Hell no.
Okay.
Oh.
So, kind of thoughts? What were you? I know you didn't read it, but I mean, from what I said, what are you thinking?
You know, I don't, I have no, I have. I mean, I don't know how you managed to get through that whole plot, if you want to call it that. I swear you just don't think the story could get any worse. And look, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not doing this for fun. I'm not doing this for laughs. This is as Joe's telling me that this is my real reaction to everything that's going on in this story right here. It's just this is, you know, I really hate it for people who maybe are casual fans and are coming back to the fold and hear about this crossover. And this will probably be what they think is what happens when you cross these two over and not be the slightest bit skeptical of like, does any of this really make sense? And it's like, I don't want to hear the smart ass conversation. We're arguing comic books here. Where what's bothersome is, you know, there are so many simple rules. You don't have to get super specific. You don't have to sit there and throw in small details of a certain episode or a certain character or something like that. You follow the simple guidelines of what's been what the traditional story points of He-Man and the traditional story points of Thundercats. And it's just like, you know what? Oh, forget all that. Let's throw it out the window. Let's see if we can come up with something better here. Let's try and reinvent the wheel here. They'll never know. It's not like, you know, there are actual He-Man fans out there that watch the cartoons, that read the comic books in various forms and storybooks and read, you know, the series Bible and looking up what characters have, how they've evolved over the years. No, they don't exist. And certainly not Thundercat fans who are aware of what characters are supposed to do and not do, what villains can and cannot do, and just kind of making the stuff up as we go along. It's just,
I guess that's what I'm getting at. That's what I mean is, see,
it's not, it's not, it's such a disservice to people who are coming back to the fold here, and a big middle finger to all of us who have kept these properties alive all this time when nobody cared about it, except us who just wanted to sit and, you know, hear people talk about it, or someone posts, you know, hey, look, here's a new vintage commercial here. You know, this is just like the biggest middle finger in, you know, to all of us who love these two lines here. And it is possible to do good crossovers. I'm currently reading the Batman Turtles animated adventures crossover. I'm only in the second issue of it. I'm like, this is, it's Shakespeare compared to what this book is. And actually, that's kind of an insult to that because it's very good. What you know, the few issues I've only seen, it is possible, and it just sucks so much because I love these properties with all of my heart. I mean, it's. I thought about these two properties so much as a kid when nobody else was talking about it. I'm still renting both He-Man and Thundercats in the local video stores in fifth grade and in the middle school and high school until you couldn't rent VHS anymore. You know, and to like, it just sucks that no one can come along and don't just pitch, yes, I played with the toys as a kid. Oh, I watched the cartoon once or twice with my brother when we were kids. Hire this man. You know, I'm sick and tired of these properties never being given. You know, NYB, we had some good stuff. Filmation, we had fantastic stuff. A lot of the books and comic books beforehand, we were getting some great stuff. But it's just like the modern era of He-Man. It's just been a complete and utter flop. I mean, Adventures of Pluto Nash flop. You know, Battleship flop. You know, John Carter of Mars flop. And it sucked. It sucks for all of us. You know, this is. It's not fair to us. It's what, you know,
I
man,
just,
I've run out of words.
no, I mean,
I got nothing else to say here, man. It
like
just sucks. And there's two more issues of this crap to keep going that I have to sit here and listen to Joe pretend to be someone enthusiastic. You know, and as soon as this is over tonight, he's going to go pour himself a stiff drink, pop a few pills or something like that too. You know.
Well, like I said, see, again.
I hate this book with all of my heart, man.
I can tell.
I almost feel like I am so mad here. It's like making my experience of watching the G.I. Joe live action movie in theaters, where I walked out of the theater ready to fight the first person that came up to me because of how bad that movie was. That belittles that experience. It's just like each month it's getting, it's like a big stock market drop.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, being honest, like I said, I always want new stuff. I like new stuff too. The thing is, my issues with talk about isn't because like, oh, that's something new or this is something new. It's just like when you're, it's certain elements where, like you said, you're changing the reality, and it's not something we're used to. That's what I mean. It's like, if this person ever acts like this, why would you make them act like that now? That's what's annoying. Then it's like I said, the things that, are they writing errors or are they just trying? That's what I mean. Like when I'm talking about the whole thing with He-Man, and he doesn't know who he's like, and somebody else, I'm like, but you've met Mumm-Ra before. He's addressed you as Mumm-Ra. Why are you acting like you don't know Mumm-Ra? It's just, I don't know, some things, like I said, it seems like they contradict what they did from one issue to another issue. So that's when I'm just saying, okay, the writing seems off. But I mean, like the elements, like I said, when I seen that thing with that Battle Cat, man, I thought that was cool as crap. Could it have happened?
Because we all know what's coming with that with Joe.
Shut up. There's not a custom coming. I swear.
Yeah. The only thing he saw was dollar signs.
Thanks.
While the rest of us are sent to suffer and, you know, and pale ourselves, you know, because it just continues to just, you know, bleed all over our fandom here. And there's no way to stop the bleeding. Because it continues to go deeper and deeper into you.
There you go. Well, I like that. I like that part. And I did like seeing Lionel fighting He-Man, you know, toe-to-toe. Because now the thing is, he's never done this.
Because that is the dream match we all wanted. A mutated He-Man that came out of the sarcophagus of Mumm-Ra fighting Lionel. Yes, this is the dream match we've all had since Thundercats first came on the scene in 85.
Well, it was cool to see him, like I said,
fanboy wet dream to see that.
Well, like I said, him getting the power beyond power, even though it's something he's never done, but it was cool to see him, you know, having this kind of battle with him. But like I said, now you've created the storyline that Lion-O can be just as powerful as He-Man, so now you guys have dug your own grave there. So that...
I think the fans that want to reference this as a source of, like, well, according to issue 4 here.
It has to be now.
Really?
That's
But no. Then I'm like, you know what? I reserve the right to question you as a fan, because if this is what you're going by, then clearly you don't watch any of the cartoon series.
It's gonna happen,
either Family or the traditional Thundercats, or even the new series. It's just use this as your reference point. You can't do it.
But they can now. That's what I mean. They made it happen. So the fans who were excited and
happy. Are you defending this?
No, not defending. Meaning. No. Hold on.
Have you been? Listen, has the check been cleared?
Listen. No. Not defending. Meaning the ones who were saying that, you know, when I was talking about 1 and 2 and 3, when I was like, man, I wish they wouldn't have did this and this, and they were like, Joe, accept it. That's just how it is. You got to get new stuff, so accept it. But then these same people.
Whoa. You know.
Plenty of fans. Right, but like I said, so now those same fans are the ones who are upset that Lion-O is now as strong as He-Man. I was like, wait a second. You guys were the ones that were loving it. So if you love the 3 issues, you got to love this part too. That's what I mean. So it created. Oh, and by the way, one time during the issue, Lion-O did take his sword and he shoved it into He-Man's side. So he, like, you know, he did penetrate. He impaled him on his rib. So he got him.
Oh,
with that.
God. That means we actually saw sword on sword violence and someone got impaled. Yeah, think of the children.
Yeah, so he shoved it in him. I kept thinking the whole time. Now, again, I don't remember every episode. I know she was in maybe 2. I don't know if she was in 3, but I was thinking of Mumm-Ra in the Thundercats cartoon. I know she was in everybody's favorite, but I know she's in the White Pyramid, and she's all about good.
Did she have a sarcophagus too? Just curious. How did she, get her?
We have to ask Thomas on that one. I can't remember off the top of my head, honestly.
Because I kept thinking, hell, if
she... give anything less than a full secure answer on that
one. Okay, then I'll save that one because I guess what I was getting to was if her white pyramid is the same exact principle as the black pyramid, she had a sarcophagus. Figured, why don't you just take Adam to the white pyramid and you could have been healed under good, but then it wouldn't have led to the crazy fight.
Oh, then we wouldn't have got the interesting story that you got, in your hands, if we'd have went down that route. Where's the fun in that?
Exactly. Well, Tyler,
but it's just like the biggest thing here is people. It's just, it's bad, bad writing, If you have a good story and you're building up to certain things, as much as you may roll your eyes at certain elements, you can. I probably would be sitting here holding issue 4 if the story was taking its time. Regardless, if they only gave them 6 issues to do this story, there's, 6 issues it's still, you can still do a great crossover story with only 6 issues. You can do it with 4.
Yeah,
but. The biggest problem is bad storytelling. I mean, if somebody, I don't know, I'm not going to go down that route. I just feel like, when you have a good writer on Spider-Man or Batman or Superman or the X-Men, they know these characters inside and out. They're passionate about them. They follow the continuity that's been given. Otherwise, the fans, they uprise and they want your head on a stick for treating these characters poorly. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. It may not be the flagship, but it means a whole hell of a lot to us to see these characters portrayed in current comic books or current media. And which also, for people who want to sit there and say, we're stuck in the past or some nonsense like that, it's like, no. The past has too many great stories, which is why we keep referring to the past, because they were writing good stories in all forms of media. From the storybooks and cartoons and various other things. That's why we talk about them. That's why we go back. That is why we're still here to this day talking about these things, is because back then they were good. It has nothing to do with nostalgia. And it's like, it does not mean we have to settle for bad storytelling, silly dialogue, and people who don't know anything about these properties, and we're just supposed to just, oh, thank you. Can I have another? It has nothing to do with the get off my lawn, kid, the back of my day kind of mentality here. These stories suck.
No, because you will get the people, like you said, that love something, hate something. I mean, what's sad is just, like I said, the sales. I mean, it's showing because they're not increasing.
Yeah, sales are dropping drastically
every month.
Every month, the sales are dropping.
Yeah, and that's sad.
If this was leaving people on the edge of their seats with every issue, I don't think it would be dropping the way it was. Maybe a slight drop-off or something like that. But do you think if it was getting bigger and bigger and you're waiting and waiting for He-Man and Lionel to collide, you're waiting for He-Man to fight Mon-Ra for the first time as Skeletor and Lionel, the sales would – people would be, I can't wait. I'd give me every variant cover or something like that. But no.
Yeah.
One
quick question. Is dirt? Dirt. Do you have something up there? I can't see what that is. What is it you have up there?
Just some comments from the chat happening on YouTube. Maxworks in Germany says it is as much a canon as the classic bios. Some will accept them, most of them won't. But this miniseries is just a spinoff or something Elseworld stuff. DC Comics does Elseworlds, where they do, the parallel universe. The story's a little different. Change some facts of it just to make the story fit whatever they're trying to do. So some people will count it as being an alternate parallel universe, and some people will count it as being just as much part of the canon as all those bios that came out of the Classics line.
True. You're right. People will interpret it however they want.
Look, if you're going to go down that route and sit there and say that, this is an alternate universe, then it needs to be established to the readers. When you're going to do this crossover here, we're gonna break rules and say that this isn't like an alternate universe, an alternate timeline, or something that, just like DC and Marvel have done with all of their big flagship characters, to get out of being stuck in a corner because of continuity issues, you create your own. And I'm like, it doesn't make it any better in my eyes, but it's it's they're trying to use too many familiar, you know, characters, references of what we come to know to be, you know, what we expect in a He-Man Thundercats universe.
Well, do you consider it, do you consider it canon as part of the regular He-Man universe, Masters of the Universe history that He-Man has met Superman?
It's not something that, you know, it's not something I ever really think about, to be honest. Like, it to me, it was just this cool book that they just put out because, you know, it's, I guess this is kind of me, you know, the He-Man toy line or storyline has always been evolving from the beginning, from the book that Doug just mentioned, to the DC miniseries, to Filmation, to the mini comics, the Star comics, the Golden books. There's been an evolution throughout all of it. But this comic book series is trying to tell us that, look, we're taking what you know and messing with it. You know, they're trying to say, we're taking what has been established as what you guys consider to be the canon for He-Man and Thundercats, and we're going to, well, do whatever the hell we want with it here. You don't get the feeling that this is an alternate reality or an alternate timeline, storyline, or an alternate version of He-Man in a different, you know, galaxy or something like that. You don't get that vibe from that. And the whole thing with Superman and He-Man, it's hard for me to think of it anything more than just that this is like a template of like kicking off Master of the Universe by putting our flagship character Superman in it to kind of get people's attention. So I don't really think of it anything more than just kind of like a really cool commercial for He-Man at the time.
You know, as for me, the thing is, everything that's been officially put out, whether I liked it or not, yeah, unfortunately, yes, I do see it as canon. Everything from Superman to now this Thundercats, I mean, it's all canon. And I think that even if you were to establish, like how some people say, this is its own standalone separate story, which some people say that sometimes about certain things, still doesn't matter. Because how many times has that debate came up about when somebody says, who'd win, He-Man or Superman? What do? They reference the early comics, and they now reference the recent comics. And they show the whole clone thing, and when He-Man impaled Superman, the clone of Superman. And it creates sometimes confusion, but also it creates big debates. So now, that's what I mean. That's this thing with Lion-O, whether you love it or hate it, has now just established, if you say who'd win, Lion-O or He-Man, every person in the world is going to reference this comic and say, Lion-O's just as strong.
You know, that's a point that can be argued because, you know, you look at the Tale of Teela mini comic where it's established that Teela's a clone and not the Sorceress's daughter. You ask 98% of He-Man fans are probably going to tell you that who is Teela to the Sorceress? They're going to say it's her daughter. They're not going to sit there and say it's the clone because that was part of it was a story that was written that clearly was disregarded. There was so many different things that they did in He-Man, and it just constantly kept evolving to the mixer that we come to know. That is, some people don't like the idea of Prince Adam, but Prince Adam is considered the you know, general consensus of this is what we come to expect in He-Man, is that there is He-Man and Prince Adam, even though it didn't start out with Prince Adam, you know, initially. I'm not talking DC Comics and stuff like that. It's just because it came along, I don't feel like it's necessarily canon, because they would, you know, Tale of Teela, it's written. I don't think a whole lot of people take that as the standard canon, as if like
that. Oh, everybody has their one. You're right. They're all going to lean towards
But I'm
one.
Saying, but it's also, it's like I've said before, the whole pick your adventures thing, where if you can pick and choose what's your canon, but if you're asking even a casual to a hardcore fan, you know, who Teela is, it's the Sorceress's daughter, not the clone of the Sorceress.
Right. People are going to remember that, Kurt. Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where, like, I like Superman crossing over with He-Man. It was a good issue, and it's a hell of a lot better than what we're getting right now. You know, it was simple to the point. This is what you want to see. He-Man and Superman fighting, boom, end of story. You know, not, let's we're gonna retell and goof up Superman's history in this crossover with He-Man here just because, well, I can. You know, it just feels like you come to expect certain things, and I've worn myself out here, man.
All right. Well, I think we'll have to close it up with that being said. So like you said, you worked yourself up. It's a good episode. Like I said, love or hate that. Oh, wait, is there anything
but
else?
I still want to let me just end this real quick. If people like it, I'm happy you're finding joy in it here.
Sure.
I'm not going to do the overly PC, you know, well, you know, everyone has an opinion. I was like, no. If someone were to come up to me in person and say, look, well, I really liked it. I was like, well, you know what, bud or girl, woman, I'm glad you're finding joy in it, you know, because I certainly can't. I know other people can't. But who am I to sit there and tell you that, you know, you're less of a person or I question your fandom or any other ridiculous theory because you like this? Because I love the 87 movie. A lot of people don't. I like certain episodes of Filmation. A lot of people don't.
And that's
never
what makes
gone
you
out of my way to help. Huh?
That's what makes you less than me. Remember that. Because you like that movie, because you like Filmation, and because I said so. I'm better than Tyler. Tyler's less than me. Just always remember that.
Where the hell are you going with that ridiculous statement?
I have no clue. I just want to let you know. Remember, I get to tell you what to do.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Nice Guy, who apologizes for everything here, is better than the guy who would not go out of their way to tell you how wrong you are, because I've seen those arguments on the internet. People want to argue with each other. You know, I claim that I've seen, you know, the whole time capsule thing with Lino. I've seen it, man. It's in there, dude. Arguing just to be arguing. That kind of mentality.
I know. Just take one deep breath because Dirt's going to, I think, maybe read us another thing. Is there anything else you had there, Dirt?
Okay.
Just real quick here. Someone in the chat named Zirik Imran, and I've probably butchered that name. First of all, Joe, he says that you're his dad.
All right, cool. All right. I knew I had one illegitimate kid out there. Good. All right. I was wondering where you've been. Go
he
ahead.
Also
fan community.
He also wants to know, Tyler, what's on the indoor playset over your shoulder back there?
Over here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the beginnings of a G.I. Joe diorama with the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves playset. It's like kind of a and I have a swamp mat with some alligators there, and it was supposed to be a diorama with Cobra and the Dreadnoughts kind of setting up this drop-off point with the Joes trying to free Lady J there, and I meant to get like a background of Swamp to kind of put in the back and really build up this big kind of, you know, deal going wrong in the Swamp with Cobra and the Dreadnoughts and G.I. Joe getting involved and into it, and I never did get around to finishing it, so that's what's back there.
Oh, okay. All right, anything else there, Dirk, or was that much it?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. All right. Well, Tyler, you go ahead and give us some of your goodness. What do you recommend episode-wise, mini-comic-wise? What do you suggest with your final thoughts?
I'm going to go with the Dragon Invasion for my recommendation this week. Dear God, I feel so emotionally drained right now.
So you're just going to leave it at that?
No, I'm just kind of looking, you know, Dragon Invasion. But you know, let me switch it up here. Let me suggest some literature.
Yeah, do that.
I'm going to suggest The Magic Mirrors from Golden Books, which was a personal favorite of mine because it starts up with this big epic battle with a lot of the evil warriors fighting the heroic warriors, and ends up being a bait and switch tale of Fisto trying to help out He-Man and his friends get to the top of the mountain to rescue this wizard. His name escapes me here. And is doing some questionable actions while trying to help his friends up the mountain. Is Fisto on the side of good? Is he on the side of evil? Does he have his own mentality? But you find out what's really going on when you get to the top of the mountain in that story. So it's a classic Golden Book story, Magic Mirrors. It's you know, if you haven't bought it, purchase it. I'm sure you can find it online to look at. That's my recommendation. And put on Dragon Invasion in the background.
All right, and that's another beautiful cover, too, by Earl Norham, correct? Who did that?
Man, it's such an epic-looking Earl Norham. And I can't wait until eventually we do a discussion on Earl Norham's work for He-Man. Like, just the Golden Books alone is a discussion.
Yeah. His art, yeah, exactly. When we get to him and his art, that will be a great episode. So,
absolutely.
But, all right, well, as for me, remember, you can always go to fansofpower.com, popculturenetwork.com, hemanworld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe, He-Man and She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
This dude's gonna kill your ass, man. Don't you know that?
That's right. Lionheart. That's it.